Hi, I'm Emily, and we're so glad you're here today. If this is your first time with us, welcome. We'd love to connect with you online and in person. So you can go to our website and say hi on our I'm New page, or stop at the connection point at your site for a welcome card. Thanks so much for being here today. Love Madison is next Sunday, and we are so excited. Every spring, we choose one Sunday to serve as one church all over the greater Madison area through all kinds of projects. You can serve outside, you could do an at-home project, or participate in one of our donation drives at Brader Way and Fitchburg. Now, we'll still have church next week, but also invite you to be the church through serving as the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. Today is your last day to sign up, so make sure to head to the website. Do you want to learn the story of Scripture and gain some new tools to better understand it? Well, starting in June, our women's ministry is hosting a 6-week summer Bible study to better equip you to learn and understand how to read your Bible. Through teachings from Jenny Allen, Bianca Juarez-Olthoff, and Joe Saxton, you'll learn how the Old Testament and the New Testament connect and see the purpose of each book. You can join this study in person or online. Sign up today on our website. As followers of Jesus, we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. One of the many ways we can do this is by learning and caring about the ways in which racism and injustice impacts our community. This summer, we're offering another round of race and faith learning groups. Now, these short-term groups are centered around books, podcasts, and movies that allow for candid discussion and open conversation to grow together. Check out Andrea's story to hear about her experience.
I'm Andrea Pence. My family and I have been attending Black Hawk for about 7 years. I was moved to start using my time, my talents, my resources, my abilities to impact racial justice. Black Hawk offered race and faith book groups, and to me that was a great tangible next step to get involved. We had a safe space for people to admit I've been wrong, I've made mistakes, I believe things that were not right and not Christ-like. Immediately I realized my depth of knowledge of African American history is very shallow. Today, I can't separate my following Jesus and my walk with Jesus from this issue. I can no longer separate this out as a maybe I'll dig into that, maybe I'll look into that. This has now become a must-have in my faith. And if I don't dig into that, then I feel like I'm not truly following Jesus. So it's become very important.
To join a race and faith learning group, you can go online to find a group that works for you, or you can gather some friends and neighbors and start your own through the guide available on our website. If you'd like to share a prayer request, get more info about our ministries, or find out how to connect through serving, you can stop by Connection Point on your way out today, or head to our website. Thanks again for joining us today.
Well, welcome to Black Hawk Church. If you are joining us online today, thanks so much for coming and worshiping with us. Everyone in the room, welcome to you guys as well. You can stand and join us in singing and worshiping. You can raise your hands, you can move around. But wherever you are, we worship a God who is mighty. He's the author, he's the creator of the cosmos, but he is also present wherever you're at, and he wants to meet with us today. So let's be in tune with what it is that he wants to do in our lives as we sing, and let's sing How Great Thou Art. Here we go.
Hear the rolling thunder.
over the last months, we've been singing some different songs in different languages as kind of an expression of the multicultural kingdom of God. Last week, we sang part of a song in Spanish. A couple months before that, William, he's one of our Black Hawk Chinese ministry leaders, he was here and teaching us the chorus in Mandarin Chinese for this song, For How Great Thou Art. Now, I'm guessing you guys all have that memorized, so we're just going to go in. You guys remember the pronunciation? So, oh, no, you don't. I'm seeing heads shaking. No, I figured that was the case. So here's what we're going to do. William is going to lead us in teaching us the pronunciation of that chorus again. So he's going to say a few words. We'll repeat after him. Just do your best to try to learn and to pronounce it, and then we'll sing together. So William, can you lead us in that?
All right. Let's give it a try. Please repeat me after this for the chorus.
我灵歌唱，赞美救主，我神，你真伟大，何等伟大，
You sounds awesome.
Not bad, right? Nice job, you guys. Well, every week that we gather to worship, there are people here at Black Hawk that their native language to worship in is different than English. It's different than many of ours. So if yours is Mandarin Chinese, what we're going to do is William is going to sing verse 4 in Mandarin. So feel free to sing along with him if that's your native language. If it's not, feel free just to listen and to worship in that way. And then when the chorus comes, let's all join in singing together. All right, take it away, William. 真伟大，何等伟大！Amen. Well, nice job, you guys. Well, when I woke up this morning, as I usually do on mornings that I lead worship, I pulled out my phone and just to look at the latest headlines of things that were happening in our community and around the world. And the first thing that I saw, of course, was the situation that's happening in the Middle East. Man, just such a difficult, devastating situation. And so, God, we pray for peace. We pray for healing and comfort in the midst of that. But the other thing that I saw as I kind of scrolled through the different headlines is I just felt like, God, we need you. Not just in the midst of those situations, but we as a church, we need you, because in a world that's so polarized, there's so many things that threaten to divide us where we just start yelling at each other and making enemies out of people that maybe we're worshiping next to on a Sunday, and then the rest of the week we start arguing with each other. And we need him if we're going to be the kind of people that love each other in the way that he's called us to be and that are unified. So we're going to learn a new song here in just a second. That's what this song is about, is this call to love each other and to seek justice and all of those things, but also to do so with humility and seeking unity as we do that. Because yes, as we're rebuilding things throughout this series and rebuilding our lives, sometimes we need to tear things down, especially the dividing walls and the things that are getting in the way of loving each other and being the kind of people and the kind of community that he's called us to be. So here's how this song goes. I'll teach the chorus and then we'll go on with the rest of the song. Sing as you get the hang of it. Tear down the walls. Remind us we're sisters and brothers. Tear down the walls. Help us to love one another. Up the walls and burn the bridges down. Chosen our sides and drawn the lines, formed the battleground. Shouted out loud and drowned the others out. Of coming in last, the world's gone mad. Oh God, we need you now. So tear down the walls. Remind us we're sisters and brothers. Tear down the walls. Help us to love one another. Jesus, our peace and our hostility. Lead us to lay our weapons down, love our enemies. Jesus, our hope, bring justice and healing. Cross, it is done. You've made us one to live now in unity. So tear down the walls. Remind us we're sisters and brothers. Tear down the walls. Help us to love one another. Sisters and brothers, tear down the walls. Help us to love one another. Sing that one more time. Sing Tear Down the Walls.
Well, welcome to Black Hawk Church. There you go. So good to see you guys. Thanks for those of you joining us online for hanging in there with a little hiccup. For those of you in the room, you can go ahead and have a seat. All right, you guys, well, as we continue in our service together, we just have a couple of reminders of some things that are coming up. As you just heard in the What's Happening announcement a few minutes ago, Love Madison is next Sunday, May 23rd. We still have spots available for you guys to sign up for that. So registration actually closes tonight at midnight. And so if you are wanting to participate, you guys, this is such an amazing way to love and serve this community that we all love. And so go ahead and check out those available opportunities and sign up for that. In just a minute, Pastor Michael Knapp said he's going to be coming up and continuing our teaching in the homecoming series. But every time we start a new series here at Black Hawk, we actually provide some additional resources online that you can use to dig in more to the message, to put some things into practice. And so for this series, we have Bible reading plans available to you. We have discussion guides that you can use for your own personal reflection or as a group. We also have some book and podcast recommendations. And so actually this Wednesday, we're going to be dropping a new episode of the Black Hawk podcast where we sit down with a couple of people from our congregation and they've talked through this tool called a rule of life that they've been using that's been helping them to center their lives on Jesus over this past season. And so this week, we'd love to encourage you to go check out those resources. All right, well, as we continue in our phased relaunch here at Black Hawk, we have some exciting news of a next step that we'll be taking this summer. And so why don't you watch the video with me to learn more.
Hey, Black Hawk family. I'm so excited to share an update with all of you about Black Hawk Kids. On Sunday, June 13th, Black Hawk Kids will begin a phased relaunch of in-person programming at all three sites. We can't wait to welcome kids birth through fourth grade back into our kids' spaces. We have missed them so much, and our team has been working hard to find the best way for kids and volunteers to be in community with one another in a safe way. Even with masks and social distancing, we're still gonna have a great time worshiping together and hearing stories from the Bible and helping kids see how they fit in to God's big story. If you're interested in attending, reservations will be required on our website. Now, if your family isn't ready to join us in person yet, that's okay. We will continue Black Hawk Kids Online through the summer. What kids learn in person and online will be the same. If you have ever wanted to be part of helping kids learn about God and how much He loves them, there has never been a better time to join our team. We know this past year has been hard for kids and families, and we want to be able to welcome as many kids back into our spaces as possible. The number of spots available each week is dependent on the number of volunteers that we have in place. So, to relaunch well, we need awesome people like you to step into volunteer roles. Whether that's serving in the classroom with kids or welcoming families or serving behind the scenes, there's a place for everyone. If you're interested in serving with Black Hawk Kids, head to our website for all our opportunities. You can find out all the details about Black Hawk Kids relaunch online. And whether we're in person or online, we are committed to helping kids grow spiritually and connect relationally. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I love that little slide. It's so epic. I'm like ready to teach now and talk with you. Well, hey, it's so great to be with you today. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Michael, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Black Hawk Church. And I actually want to begin with a little story, just something like a little life update that happened to me this past like month and a half ago. So I actually moved, not out of Madison, within Madison. But I don't know about you, whenever I move to a new place, I just kind of get excited about like the potential that like that new place has, right? HGTV, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't, but that's okay. So I moved into this new place, and I remember the first day walking inside upstairs, and I was just kind of taking a little tour, and I thought, oh, this wall would look really cool this color. Or, oh, man, I should put, like, my chair here and, oh, some plants here. And then I walked downstairs to the basement, and I said, I am living with a basement. On the West Coast, you don't really have basements where I'm from. So I went into the basement, and immediately I looked up and I saw a drop ceiling. I don't know if you've seen a drop ceiling before. Here's a picture of a drop ceiling. Behold in all its glory, a drop ceiling. Now, my drop ceiling looked like it was in its prime in the 90s. Or sorry, not the 90s, the 70s. It was like just different shades of color. It was just kind of like, you know, it hadn't been kept really well since the 70s. There were like watermarks. And not only that, it was like just 2 inches above my head. So I thought, okay, I wonder what it would look like to just take the whole drop ceiling off, just to remove it. So I thought, okay, I'll take a couple panels off. So I lifted a panel up. I kind of like worked its way down, lifted a panel up. I just wanted to see what it would look like with a few panels off. And then finally, I lifted one up. And about a minute later, I lifted another one up. And then all of a sudden, something just fell off of the panel, slid down, hit me right in the face, and landed on the floor. And I was shocked. I might have let out a little scream. It scared me. And I looked down to see what the heck it was. Like, what was that? Now, if you've lived in an older house before, you might know where this is going. And if you haven't and you're a little squeamish, you can go ahead and plug your ears right now. People, it was a mouse, a dead mouse. Here's a picture of the dead mouse. I'm gonna spare you from that. But it was a dead mouse, are you kidding me? But I needed a couple more panels off just to see what it would look like. So I was so nervous. I like was shaking. I lifted another panel off, whew, poof, right in the face, landed on the floor, another dead mouse. Like what is going on? I knew at that moment that drop ceiling had to go down. It was a goner. My house needed to be clean. My basement would no longer be a graveyard for these little mice to go and breathe their little last breath. I needed to rebuild. And that's what this season's been like for me. I'll walk into my upstairs bathroom and then take a step and be like, oh, I don't think tile should be soggy. And then I'll like lift up the tile and sure enough, the entire floor is rotten. So I have to get rid of the floor and put a new floor in. This season has been a rebuilding season for me. And you know, the more that I think about it, the more that I'm realizing this season is really a rebuilding season for all of us. I mean, think about it. This last year, a little over a year, we have been living differently than we ever have before. I mean, with social distancing, masks, with dry hands from all the hand sanitizer. Listen, when I was young, I was terrible at Frogger, but I'm really good at like the real life Frogger when someone's getting close to you and you just kind of jump out of their way. But this season has been so different for us. I mean, you know it. We've lost things that we love. And for some of us, we've lost people that we love. This last season has dramatically affected us in ways that we are never going to forget. But for most of us, right now, things are slowly starting to change. I mean, as the number of vaccinated people keeps rising and the number of COVID cases just keeps going down, things are beginning to shift a little bit. Things are beginning to change. And it's like we've been talking about, we're exiting, in the process of exiting COVID land and we're entering into this new land where we have this opportunity to do things in a new way, to live differently, to rebuild our lives differently. Now, we are in the third week of the series that we are calling Homecoming with the epic music at the beginning. And Charles actually kicked this series off a couple weeks ago. And when he began the series, he began at the very beginning of Ezra and Nehemiah. And remember, at that talk, Charles talked about how Ezra and Nehemiah was originally written as one book. And he kicked it off by talking about how King Cyrus, who is the king of Persia, allowed the Israelites to return to their homeland. And for those who wanted to return to the homeland, they made the journey. And the rest of Ezra and Nehemiah goes over these three faith leaders and their rebuilding efforts. It starts out with Zerubbabel, which is an awesome name, Zerubbabel. I just love saying it. He led the efforts to rebuild the temple. And then as you continue in Ezra and Nehemiah, you get to Ezra himself, who led the efforts to rebuild the Torah and the community. And then you get to Nehemiah, who led the efforts to rebuild the wall. And today, we're actually going to focus on Nehemiah and his efforts to rebuild the wall. And as we do that, as we are looking at his efforts to rebuild the wall, I actually want to give all of you different invitations. Different invitations to rebuild our lives differently in this season. We're going to be talking about how Nehemiah is rebuilding differently and how we are invited to rebuild differently. Does that sound good? That's what we're going to do. All right. So with that, let's go ahead and jump right in. The first invitation that I want to give all of you is to really just get serious about rebuilding. Get serious about rebuilding. Now, if you have your Bibles with you or your smartphones, go ahead and turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, we have Nehemiah talking to the new king of Persia, King Artaxerxes. And Nehemiah, he's actually the cupbearer, the guy that gives the king wine. And this is the conversation in Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, when wine was brought from him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Then the king said to me, with the queen sitting beside him, he asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time." Okay, so Nehemiah was serious about rebuilding, so much so that he left Persia, he left where he was living, and entered into the land of Jerusalem to really lead the rebuilding efforts of the wall around Jerusalem. Now, I actually want to pause for a second. We're talking about building, we're talking about rebuilding. I just want to like go a little deeper so all of us can get at a common level when it comes to rebuilding. So whenever anyone gets serious about rebuilding or building, you typically have a blueprint. Now, this is kind of an old school blueprint. People like construction workers, architects, anyone who's serious about rebuilding will use this blueprint printed on blue paper. And a blueprint's purpose is to show you just kind of an outline and like a detailed outline in a plan of action of what you're trying to build. Now, today we have like different versions of blueprints. People will still kind of use outlines and plans on paper, but for the most of us, when we are building, we use kind of different blueprints, like YouTube. If you're doing kind of a project, whether it's in your yard, your house, or school project, typically, if you don't know what to do, You'll kind of go to YouTube and you'll find a YouTube video that'll teach you. Or another kind of blueprint that we'll use is just talking with someone. Talking with someone who's built what you are trying to build and they have kind of this expert knowledge. Listen, I've been to almost every Madison home improvement store in the last month and a half. And I feel like the show Cheers, if you remember that, where like everybody knows my name because I go to everyone and ask them how to do everything. Because here's the deal, if we go into rebuilding blindly, then we not only won't have the tools that we need for building, we won't have what we need to actually do it, but we won't know how to do what we're actually doing. We'll be blind when it comes to that because rebuilding requires intentionality. When I had to rebuild my drop ceiling, get all that those mice out there and rebuild it, I didn't go into it blindly. I actually had to talk to some friends who knew what to do because I had no clue what to do. And not only that, I had to find out what tools I needed, like gloves, a hammer, a crowbar, and maybe looking back like a bathtub full of hand sanitizer to just baptize my body from those mice. That would have stung, but I don't know. I might have done it. Who knows? But I'm talking about blueprints. I'm talking about building. If you are at a place where you might be thinking, okay, all right, I might get serious about rebuilding, but where do I start? Maybe the process is a little bit overwhelming, and that's a good question. So with that, I want to invite us to go back to the text to see where the text asks us or invites us to start, because that's a good place for us to start. It's this question that King Artaxerxes asked Nehemiah, because answering that question is where Nehemiah started. All right, the text, this is where Nehemiah was talking to the king, his sadness of heart. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, "What is it you want? What is it you want?" Nehemiah was sad. I mean, the city where his ancestors were buried lied in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire. Nehemiah knew that God had given this land to his people. And God was like, man, here's this land. Follow me in the land. But they didn't. They rebelled against God. They sinned. And because of that, they were tossed into exile. Well, many, many years later, with the other leaders, Nehemiah led the efforts from the land of Persia into this new land to rebuild. And as we are exiting this COVID land and we are entering into this new land, a good place to start is to ask ourselves, what is it we want? I mean, think about that right now. Right now, all of you, wherever you're at in life, what is it that you want? How do you envision your life going forward? Do you like how you've been living? Or at different points, have you been filled with anxiety in this past season, loneliness in this past season? Maybe there is different decisions that you made, and man, you regret. Maybe kind of like a snowball that gets bigger, some habits have creeped in and they've gotten large and large, and you might be at a place where you're thinking, man, how do I stop these? Maybe when it comes to your relationships, you're not where you want to be. Maybe when it comes with God, you're not where you want to be. Well, it's a new season. What is it you want? Maybe it's time for all of us to get serious about rebuilding, because the reality is we don't have to stay where we are at. What is it that you want? And what's interesting is to see how Nehemiah answered that question. Let's go back. The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven. Then I prayed. If you find yourself asking the question, what is it I want? The next best thing to do is to pray. To ask God, what is it that you might want? And then to ask him help for it. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. And that led Nehemiah to being honest with King Artaxerxes, and that led King Artaxerxes to let Nehemiah leave Persia and to go back to his homeland and rebuild the efforts for Nehemiah to be able to do what he wanted to do. And as the story goes, Nehemiah lived happily ever after, right? No, that's not what happened. He didn't live happily ever after. He actually, when he got there and started doing what he wanted to do after he prayed, he experienced opposition from the people in the land. Let's go ahead and turn to Ezra Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 7. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod, just great biblical names going on right now, heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all of the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. Okay, this is really interesting. So the builders held like a hammer in one hand and a weapon in the other. So I know what you might be thinking right now. Okay, Michael, so are you trying to tell me when it comes to rebuilding my life for God, am I supposed to hold like a Bible in one hand and like a sword or like a bow staff or nunchucks or throwing some weird weapon in the other? Like, is that what you're saying? No, that's not what I'm saying. That would be really weird and definitely illegal, probably illegal. I don't know. Let's look back at the text to see what's really going on. They were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against it. You see, we have two different competing blueprints happening right now. We have God's blueprint. Nehemiah was following it. He was rebuilding God's kingdom. And then we had the people in the land's blueprint. It conflicted with God's blueprint. You see, they didn't want God's kingdom to be established. They didn't want God's kingdom to be built. So they opposed. And the point that I'm trying to get at is this. When we make the decision to rebuild our lives for God, we will always experience opposition. Which leads me to the next invitation I want to give all of you. The invitation to rebuild our lives differently, even when there's opposition. All right, back to the mice. You heard me, back to the mice, because here's the deal. I'm traumatized from it, and I'll probably never be done talking about it. So when I was in my basement and I realized that there were dead mice in my drop ceiling, I not only knew that I had to take all of the mice out, but that I had to do something to protect myself, protect my house from mice getting in, right? So, okay. I never thought that I would become like a local Madison expert on mousetraps because I went into a deep dive to find out all the different mousetraps out there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. There's a ton of them. Kind of feel bad for the mice, but there's a lot of them. And then I also never thought that I would be on my hands and knees, I don't know if you've done this before, maybe only me, circling my house, trying to find the little hole that the little mice are coming in and then to like patch it up and block it because I don't want those little fellas in anymore. You see, what was I doing there? I was protecting what I was rebuilding on the inside, which is exactly what Nehemiah was doing. So what does that look like for our lives when we're rebuilding our lives? Well, a few weeks ago, there was a situation where I realized that I was letting some things into my life that were like affecting me in not the best way, kind of like the mice. So I don't know about you, but whenever I go onto a Zoom call, like a Zoom meeting, there's a couple different scenarios that I experience. So the teaching team, I was on a teaching team Zoom call. It was like a meeting that was supposed to happen. And then you know how it takes a couple minutes for everyone to like come in. And then there's like a couple awkward scenarios. I think they're all awkward. The first one is just like awkward silence as you just wait for people to enter the call so you can begin. Yeah, it's awkward. The second one is like the forced small talk. Like, how was your day? Good, how was your day? 10 seconds of silence. What did you watch yesterday? 10 seconds. Oh, the third scenario is actually my favorite scenario. I love this scenario. It's what I call like the summer camp scenario or the middle school scenario. It's where like someone has an icebreaker question for everyone to answer as everyone's coming into the Zoom call. Charles, you lobbed an icebreaker at us. It was, how many streaming services do you have? So everyone kind of started talking about it. And when we were kind of getting near the end, I realized that most people had like 2 to 4 streaming services that they've been watching. I don't think Chris had any. I had 8. You heard me right. Hello, my name is Michael. I have 8 streaming services. It was silent. No one talked. They didn't know what to say. In fact, that was the very first time that I've ever heard Charles use speechless. And in the deafening silence, I knew that, oh gosh, I wonder if I have a problem. Maybe during COVID, something got out of control. And I started kind of thinking about, okay, why do I have 8 streaming services other than my love for the cinema? And then I started really looking deeper and deeper, and I realized that through COVID, I was getting numb from everything that was going on. And I realized that it was easier to look at a screen than to look within. And I realized as I'm exiting COVID land and rebuilding my life differently for God, that I want to do things differently in this. That I want to look within more and see what's going on. And I want to process more with Jesus. And I want to process more with community and with people. And I want to protect what I'm rebuilding because I'm vulnerable right now. And I want to block things from getting in. And what that looks like for me is canceling some of those subscription services that will tempt me. Now, I know what you're thinking. Michael, are you going to cancel Disney Plus? No. Because you know that I'm connected to Baby Yoda in a way that I cannot express. I want to know what's going to happen, so I'm not going to cancel that one. But I need to protect myself as I'm rebuilding my life for Jesus in this new time. What about you? As you're rebuilding your life for Jesus, what are different things that you need that have been coming into your life that are not having the best effect on you? And what does it look like to block those things? Or maybe in this past season, you've rebuilt your life differently for God during COVID, and you actually, as you're entering into this new season, this new line, you want to protect what you've rebuilt. What does that look like for you? Because the reality is, when we rebuild our lives for God, we will always experience opposition. And we will always experience opposition because there will always be conflicting blueprints. Some of them going as far as trying to get us to stop following God's blueprint and to start following another one. Which leads to the next invitation I want to give you, to rebuild our lives differently by using God's blueprint. Now, for this invitation, I actually want to go back to the conversation that Nehemiah was having with King Artaxerxes. The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Can we time out for a second? Can we real talk? I don't know if it's just me. What? Like, what is going on here? Like, he wants to be sent back to where his ancestors are buried so that he can rebuild it. What is that? Like, I honestly, when I first read this, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. What does that mean? I mean, Nehemiah was talking to the king. He had the highest power and authority in all the land. The king could probably give him literally anything that he asked for, and this is what he said. Think about it right now. Okay, someone comes up to you who has like the highest authority and power in the land, and they're like, okay, what do you want? So let me know. I can give it to you. What do you want? And you say, thanks. You know, I want to go back to my ancient, you know, like the place where my ancient ancestors are buried and rebuild a wall. Like, no, that's weird. So my family, we're actually pretty confident that we've traced back where our family comes from. The name kind of gives it away. It's a little village in Norway called Napstad. Kind of gives it away. It's Napstad. So it's kind of a cute little village. It's small, and I like it, you know. Okay, so what if right now, as I'm talking with all of you, someone comes up here and says, okay, Michael, listen, buddy, believe me, I have all the power and authority. Trust me, I do. Right now, in this current context, what do you want? Anything. And I'm like, oh, anything? And they're like, literally anything. I'm like, really? I can have anything? Yeah, just tell me. Okay, so I want to go back to my ancient ancestors' place because there's a little wall that's not in the best shape, and I want to lead the efforts to rebuild that. Like, no, I'm not going to say that. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. He had a great life, great wealth. He had this great position. It was a high-ranking palace position. Literally, when the king asked him, what do you want? He could have said anything, and a lot of things would have made a lot more sense. He could have said, man, thanks so much for asking, Artaxerxes. He's like, I would actually like a pay raiser. You know, thanks for asking. This past season, I've just been wearing joggers and jammies, and I need a new wardrobe. They probably weren't wearing joggers and jammies. I don't know. You talk to Charles for what people wore. Or like, man, King Artaxerxes, I'm your cupbearer. I give you wine, and this past season, you've been going a little hard, and my wrist is hurting, and I think the best thing for me would be to go to a paid vacation to a beach to rest my wrist, and, right? So he could have asked for anything. And in fact, those things are things that as we're entering into this new land, we're seeing advertisements everywhere for. I mean, I want those things. Why doesn't Nehemiah answer that way? Like, why not? Because his identity was rooted in the story of the people of God. See, Nehemiah knew that God was building his kingdom in Israel, and that kingdom needed a wall. So Nehemiah left his privilege. He left Persia to go to the land of his ancestors because that is where God was moving. That was the next chapter in the story of the people of God. So Nehemiah leveraged his power. He leveraged his influence. He leveraged his connections to help build God's kingdom. Would you do the same? Would you do the same? Because right now, God is in the process of using his people to rebuild his kingdom right here in Madison. For those of us who call Madison their home, that is where God is moving. And the same is true for you, no matter what city you live in. Do you want to be a part of that? Do you want to rebuild your life towards that? What do you want? Or maybe the better question to ask is, who do you want to be? because right now God is giving us the opportunity to be his people and to build, to rebuild his kingdom, not only in our lives, but in the city around us. That is what we're being invited to rebuild. And God has given us blueprints to help us with that. And for the rest of my time today, I want to go over a couple blueprints. It leads us to the last invitation to choose a blueprint and start rebuilding differently. So I'm going to go over a couple foundational blueprints that can help us as we get serious about rebuilding and rebuild our lives towards God as his people today. And as I go over these different blueprints, my invitation for you is to just find one. If there's one that's kind of stirring in your heart that I'm talking about, grab a hold of that. And this week, go ahead and build your life towards that. The first one, make God your center. Sometimes little green dots go here. Make God your center. When Nehemiah got serious about rebuilding, he started with prayer. He started by making God his center. And as you look back at this last season, what does that look like for you? What has that been like? Has your life revolved around God, or have you tried to get God's life to revolve around you? What would it look like to rebuild differently in this season? Maybe it's choosing a time during the day, like, I'm going to spend some time with Jesus. I'm going to pray in the morning or in the afternoon or at night. Maybe as you're rebuilding, you're going to find things that you need to block that are going to come in and try to tempt you from making God your center. You're going to say, no, I'm going to block that. Or maybe you're identifying things that you rebuilt during COVID and you're going to protect them because those things have helped you make God your center, to use that blueprint of making God your center. The second blueprint, read the Bible. Welcome to Blackhawk Church. We talk about reading the Bible a lot. So Nehemiah, he knew the story of the people of God, and we read the Bible so that we can learn the story of the people of God. Last week, Pastor Christ, in his talk, he talked exactly about this, the importance of reading the Bible, and it was a really, really great talk. If you haven't had the chance to listen to it yet, I encourage you, go back and listen to it. It's really great. And the third blueprint is to invest in a Jesus-centered community. If you were to ask Nehemiah, where's God working? Nehemiah would say, find God's people. Because to Nehemiah, God is always working through his people. I mean, that's why Nehemiah chose to invest his entire life in. That's what he chose to invest in his entire life in. That's why he built a wall to protect his people in that time as they were rebuilding God's kingdom. And as you look back at your life, what does investing in God's people look like for you? What does that look like? And I know as people are listening to this, we're probably all over the spectrum. Some of you might be thinking, I've really never invested in my time in God's people. I don't know what that means. Or maybe you're like, that's my life. That's where I live. Wherever you're at collectively, I want to invite you to make a step closer to investing in God's community. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't spend time with people who aren't in God's community. No, Jesus even did that. So, but what does it look like to take a step closer? Maybe it's you're finding that you're at a place where it's safe for you to maybe come to church in person, if that's where you're at. Or maybe you want to start volunteering with Blackhawk Kids. Like, last season, I volunteered with Blackhawk Kids, and it was so important, and just, I will never forget it. Or maybe you want to sign up to partner with us in Love Madison next week as we actually tangibly go out into Madison and beyond and just rebuild for God. Or maybe you can have a conversation with whoever you talk with that's someone who's God's people, like in God's community, like a life group, and you can maybe talk about what it looks like to take a step closer to investing with each other. My life group had that conversation last week, like, hey, are we ready to meet in person? And everyone was at a different place. And then someone said, okay, what if we just take like a baby step towards community? What does that look like for you? To invest in God's people. Because if we want to be where God's working, we have to be where God's people are at, because you can't have one without the other. Now, whatever blueprint you choose, I actually want to end by challenging you. I want to challenge you. Because it's easy to just hear a talk and then go out on your way, have a great Sunday, and then during the week and kind of forget. But no, I want to challenge you to really grab a blueprint. And then to really grab whatever hammer it looks like to rebuild your life towards God using that blueprint. And together, for us to rebuild. Let's pray. So Jesus, I just pray that we can be a community that as we are entering this new season, that we can rebuild our lives for you. And I know that building is hard work. Jesus, a lot of us, most of us, I am tired. It can be challenging to think, man, I felt like I've been trying to just keep things stable and now I have to rebuild. God, I pray that you give us energy. I pray that you give us wisdom. I pray that you give us strength. I pray that you help us as we get serious to what rebuilding looks like for us and as we rebuild our lives for you, Jesus, so that no matter where we're at, whether it's in Madison or not, that we can help bring your kingdom more here today. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah, for all that you do. You raise beauty from Michael said, we have an incredible opportunity in front of us to carefully reconsider how we are building our lives in light of who God is calling us to become, both individually and as a community. And so this week, if you want some help with that, if you want some guidance, we actually have some resources available for you on our website that you can work through. All right, and a couple of other quick reminders for you. If you haven't yet, sign up for Love Madison. You guys, let's love and serve our city together in the name of Jesus next weekend. And if you have any questions about the Blackhawk Kids relaunch this summer, we're gonna have some Blackhawk Kids staff at Connection Point available to answer any questions that you might have. For those of you online, you can just drop your questions there in the chat and we'll make sure to get those taken care of. All right, well, as we gather together to leave this space and go out into our weeks, I would love to read this passage over you as a benediction. It comes from 2 Thessalonians. It says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. All right, you guys, grace and peace to you. Have a great week.